have a question. Why is this episode a game changer?
So at the end of this episode, spoiler alert, Francis dies.
Yeah.
So I know that we used to have this format on the podcast of like, oh, this is what I think I watched, this is what I think happened, you know, what actually happened, and we let our conversations free flow a bit more now. But just to throw that question back onto you, having watched Francis interact with all the major characters in this episode, but despite the fact that you don't really, you have no context beyond just this episode, what do you think the impact of his death would be, or, you know, considering how many people he's directly involved with?
That's a really good question, actually. That's tough. I think, I don't know if I was watching the opening scene right or listening to it properly, sure. But the implication that the coal mine is such a huge development for that area.
Yeah.
The fact that his death, I guess, he seems so widely connected to everyone. Mm. This is going to be a stupid question, but what is his job? Is he a miner?
He invests in the mine.
Okay.
Because his family, like, are like an ancient family who basically owned the land.
Yeah.
And George Worligan, who's like the big villain, he's like an upstart.
Yeah.
And he's been, you know, gradually like buying more and more.
Yeah.
The Poldark's like mine profits have been going down the toilet. The power balance has shifted in their community.
Yeah. Well, by the sounds of it, it sounds like that shift, there's a huge shift in power because he's dead now. So that, I don't know. It's really tough, actually. This is a really good episode to go, I have actually no idea what it's come from and where it would be going.
I mean, I think there are a few things that, for me, actually are foreshadowed very well, almost too obviously, on a rewatch. And yet, when I watched it the first time, I was shocked that Francis died. I was like, wow, like, that's amazing. And yet, rewatching it with you, it opens with, like, childhood Ross and Francis running along the beach and then, like, transitions to them as adults. Like, why would you have that random flashback? He tells his son, I'll be home in time to read you a story. You clearly
the
will not.
The implication, yeah.
He is excited to find the copper, which means the mine is going to work and function and be a profitable success. So it's not. He makes amends with Demelza for dobbing in all the smugglers from years ago and tells her, and, like, confesses, like, yes, it was really me and I'm really sorry. And she forgives him. So I can go to my grave with a clean conscience.
Yeah.
And then his great aunt literally says something really bad and shit is going to happen today. And then it cuts to the scene. And I'm like, in retrospect, how on earth was I so surprised that this happened?
Well, my thing was, there was a couple of things. Actually, no, there's one standout. And Francis is talking to Poldark. What's his first name?
Ross.
He's talking to Ross outside the mine, and he's like, I have a good feeling about this. And I was like, no.
Yeah. And why are you cursing yourself, mate? Why?
Yeah. And I don't think, I don't know if it was just because there's something, the sequence leading up to his drowning, I found a bit bizarre, because this show feels very meticulously put together and it is gorgeous to look at. Like, we're saying on a couple of the shots that are just absolutely stunning.
Absolutely.
But the show is very much set up it's a period drama. So there's those sort of really slow, wide master shots, things that take it, like, you just take it all in. But then the moment that Francis sort of walks in to the mine, deeper into the mine, it becomes this weird Dutch angle, low sort of off-center stuff. And I was like, oh, well, this is fucking bizarre, because everything else has been so
pristine.
Carefully put together.
Yeah, and it was like, very, like, claustrophobic, shaky cam, for sure.
Yeah, and I just thought that when I say jarring, I mean that in a good sense, because I'm like, whoa, okay, this is a bit odd, because it's a stylistic choice.
Yeah.
Rather than have him, you know, have, like, that sort of setup, and obviously it's a claustrophobic space, but you could still set it up to be quite smooth.
Mm.
And I looked at that, and I was like, man, that's bizarre. And then,
But I think it's tonal. Like, it sets a tone for, you know, not just the literal tight space, but the sensation, I guess, of having to move within a space that is so limited, you know, and like how contrasting the source of your wealth is with the graceful opulence of the, like, upstairs life.
Yeah, for sure.
And especially considering that, like, although he goes on to die by drowning, that's the lifestyle that everyone in the local community that you employ to make all your money has to live in and by.
Yeah.
So I think that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. In terms of just where the show was at this point, were you watching the show as it was coming out?
Yeah, week to week. Yeah.
Okay, so was this shocking to everyone as it was to you?
So, Poldark is based on a book series.
Yep.
And I guess if you've read the books, no.
So, they're like direct...
adaptations, yep, yeah. Yeah. So, just really, really briefly, there are 12 books. And so far, it's followed one season per book.
But isn't it only getting 5 seasons?
Oh, okay. So, actually, tell a lie. So, season 1 was book 1 and 2.
Okay.
Season 2 was book 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Season 3 was book 5 and half of book 6.
Okay.
And season 4 was the second half of book 6 and all of book 7.
Okay.
And the show was made in, like, the 1970s. And so, this is a remake.
Yep.
But when the second season of the original show was airing, it was sort of Winds of Winter style. Like, old mate was still writing the 7th book.
Yeah.
So, Winston Graham is his name.
Yep.
And so, it was like, oh, what's going to come out first? Like, is the book going to be the real end, or is the TV show going to be the real end?
Mm.
And in the end, the book came out, and it was being written at the same time as the show was being adapted from it. So, it was very, like, collaborative.
Yeah.
And so, book 7, which is the end of season 4 in our version of events... it was the end of the story. And there's a big thing that happens at the end of that that's like, story's over. And then up until 2002, when he died, he wrote another 5 books. And the further 5 books are all about, like, the Poldarks are in them, but it's mostly about their children and, like, the next generation. And the 8th book picks up 10 years after the 7th book finishes. And that's why in this new one, they're not really making any more, because the actors just aren't old enough to pick it up. It's already covered about 20 years
from
the beginning of season 1 to the end of season 4. So it's just going to get a bit silly.
Yeah.
What they're doing in season 5 is essentially Benioff and Weiss style. They're just writing fan fiction.
Whatever they like.
Yeah. They're just trying to create... it is going to be the final season, but it's supposed to be what happens between the 7th and 8th book.
Yeah.
So it like fills that 10-year gap, or fills at least part of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I guess if you were familiar with the book series... so this would have happened in probably the 3rd book. Or if you were familiar with the original TV show, then you would know.
Yeah.
But to me, it was very surprising. And it really does, because Francis, he's not exactly a main character, but he's been in it since the start. He's Ross's cousin. He's Elizabeth's husband. He's George's arch enemy. He's Agatha's great nephew. He's in charge of Trenwith at this point, like, which is the Poldark seat, the family seat house. Like, he's very influential, and the way that his death impacts on Elizabeth in terms of, you know, the genteel poverty that she then has to live in without a husband, as a woman in those times, she has to remarry, the way that it impacts Ross, because he's a joint investor in this mine, the way that it impacts Ross's relationship with Elizabeth, because they obviously have history, as you would have gleaned, It is a real game changer, because the consequences and the aftermath of that death really affect the trajectory of the rest of the story.
So what is that? Like, what is that?
Do you want to know?
Yeah, I do actually want to know. Yeah.
All right. So George, who's the villain?
Yeah. Is that the... was that the dude that you gave the finger to?
Yeah.
Court guy?
Yeah.
Magistrate?
Was he a magistrate? He's not a magistrate. He's just... he's the one who... you know, you said that there's Tommy Lasso's from The Crown?
Yeah.
The one that he gave the promise note to.
Yeah.
And he asked Elizabeth, like, you know, I want your friendship. Like, he was like, oh, I won't give anybody this promissory note if you, like, give me your friendship in return. And she said, I'll see what I can do.
Yeah.
So, to restore her own finances, she marries George. And he moves into Trenwith and, like, becomes the Lord and Master of Trenwith.
Yeah.
And Ross is disgusted with her. He's like, I was in love with you. Like, my cousin was in love with you. How could you do this? Like, how could you marry our arch enemy who's trying to take over the town and let him move in? And she's like, well, mate, what do you want me to do? Like, I'm an aristocratic woman with no husband and no income and a son to your cousin that I have to support. And he, in the books, he rapes her.
Wow.
In the TV show, it's... it's still pretty controversial, but it's like a bit more consensual.
Yeah, sure.
And he gets her pregnant and she marries George straight away. And then she has to pretend that George's baby has come early because it's really Ross's.
Wait, hang on.
So Ross rapes Elizabeth.
In the book?
Yeah.
Okay. And then obviously in the show it's...
It's more consensual, yeah.
Okay, sure.
Sort of.
Yep.
It's kind of ambiguous. And then she gets pregnant to Ross, but because she marries George straight away, she has to pretend that the child she's given birth to has come early.
Yep.
Because she's got to pretend it's George's, but it's really Ross's. Demelza finds out about this and ends up cheating on Ross. Like, not exactly in revenge, but their marriage starts to fall apart.
Yeah, sure.
There's always a hint or a suggestion that Valentine, the baby, is Ross's, and no one will talk about it at all. They just don't acknowledge it. And then in season 4, Elizabeth actually does get pregnant to George for real, but she takes a potion to make the baby come early, so that she can pretend to George that she just naturally has kids early. Because if he believes that her body is inclined to expel children early, he'll believe that Valentine is really his. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's a bit of a convoluted plan.
Yeah. Okay.
She gets some kind of gangrene or sepsis.
Yeah.
And the metaphor is that she's being poisoned. From the inside by her own actions. And then she dies.
Wow.
And the only thing that's left is George's daughter. So now she has a son to Francis, a son to Ross, but he's being raised by George and has George's name, and a daughter to George. And that's where the 7th book ends, with Elizabeth's death.
Yeah, right.
And Demelza and Ross take a lot of recovering from that. And so it really sets up the interpersonal dynamic between all of those characters for the rest of the season. Because if Francis hadn't died, even though Ross and Elizabeth still have all of their romantic entanglement history, which makes Demelza jealous and uncomfortable, she would just have continued in her comfortable life, and the mine would have been a success.
Yeah.
But Francis's death literally destroys everything and sets everybody else's lives off on a totally different course.
Wow.
So it was very, very interesting when that happened, because at the time when I watched that, I was like, whoa. But I couldn't have foreseen any of the consequences. Like the next big twist when Elizabeth married George, I was just like, what the I can't believe that you did that. Like, why would you marry George? But she's right in what she says. Like, what else can I do?
Yeah.
It's not like I can marry you, Ross. Like, you're married. You know, like, problem solved. If we could just get back together, but we can't. So, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, right.
And so, yeah, it's really quite powerful.
I didn't realize. It's interesting because, like, it's less the action that seems to affect the plot and more affect the characters, which I find quite interesting.
It's a very character-driven story.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of like secondary characters, like, you know, Dwight and Caroline, then more characters come into it in season 3, Demelza's 2 brothers, and then one of them ends up falling in love with Elizabeth's cousin, and that's an ongoing story.
Yeah.
Drake and Morwenna, like, no one cares about Drake and Morwenna. They're just, like, nothing. And, like, Verity, so Francis's sister, you know, she's got a big subplot in season 1 because she wants to marry this captain, and she's basically, like, an old maid. But their dad's dead, so her brother is, like, head of the household, and so he has to give permission for her marriage because he's the, like, patriarch, even though he's her younger brother, and she just defies him and gets married.
I find it really interesting that the show is based around Ross Poldark, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really... This episode doesn't really have him front and center.
That's true. I mean, a lot of the surrounding characters do come to the front a lot, but it's all about how these people circle around his life, really.
Yeah, sure.
But I do. I like that. That, you know, it's not just like the Aidan Turner show.
Yeah, I was going to say, I found it surprising. No, I wouldn't say refreshing, but I found it surprising that the focus was, he felt very secondary to this. Obviously, he's involved and he has a relationship with Francis and stuff, but I think watching this, I'm like, oh, okay, this is a little more focused on what was going on here, and without obviously the foresight of Francis's death, going, oh, okay, the episode just wants to focus on these characters. That's kind of cool. I like that. It's not all about, like, oh, what's Ross Poldark going on?
Absolutely,
this week,
yeah.
You know, like the hijinks of that. Where,
yeah, it's kind of like he's the premise, like he's the setup, but, you know, he's not everything. Like, he just provides the catalyst for the show to start.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess, you know, it's called Poldark. It's not called Ross Poldark. Like, it's about the Poldark family.
Mm.
And they're all the family members.
Yeah. Like, so, what's, like, the... Well, I'm curious, because... What's, like, the catalyst for, like, the first episode?
So, he is fighting in the American Revolution.
Yeah.
He's a soldier.
Yeah.
And he is fighting the Americans, basically, yep. on the side of the Brits. And his family all assume that he's dead. And he's engaged to Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And because everybody believes that he's dead and she still wants to marry into the family and her family still want her to marry into the family, she gets engaged to Francis. And then Ross comes back.
Oh.
And he's like, I'm not dead. I'm alive. And she's like, oh, like,
uh-oh.
I'm engaged to your cousin and we're going to get married. And he's like, oh, but I left saying, like, wait for me. And you yeah. said yes. And she's like, well, you've been gone for like 4 years and I never heard anything from you and I thought you were dead. So...
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm not going back on marrying Francis now. And then he goes back to his own house and his parents were like the poor relations of the Poldarks and his parents are dead and so their house has been allowed to just like fall into disrepair because Francis is like the actual heir to the family fortune and he's just the cousin.
Yep.
And then he hires a servant girl to like take care of his household.
Yeah.
But they end up sleeping together and to like do the right thing. Because they've had sex, he marries her. And then she becomes like a lady of the county. Because even though he's not the Poldark, he's still a Poldark. So they're still an influential family in the
yep,
area.
Yep.
And so then part of the story is about Demelza as essentially like a lower class maid, like a servant, trying to navigate her way through this aristocratic world.
Yeah.
And then obviously there's a lot of things about the sociopolitical situation at the time in terms of, you know, the mine and the investments in the mine and the local community's way of life. And then on top of that, obviously, the entire show is just, as I said to you, like an advert for the tourist board of Cornwall. Like, it's so beautiful. And I think you can tell in the show, let alone in the books, that Winston Graham was like very attached to that. It's like, you know how they say that, you know, like New York was the fifth character in Sex and the City? I feel like Cornwall is a character in this show. Like, it is so rooted in... where it's set.
Is it based on true events or anything like that, or is it just a...
not exactly. So a lot of real characters come into it, like real politicians and real like social riots and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But all the central characters are fictional. A lot of them are based on people that Winston Graham knew and then put back 300 years.
Yeah, sure. That's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah.
So where do you think season 5 is going to go?
Well, that's the thing. Like, literally no one knows because book 8 onwards sort of implies what happened in this interim. When we last left off at the end of season 4, George had just had a new baby and his wife had just died.
Yep.
And he is now left to raise his son, who's actually Ross's son, and his daughter. And Geoffrey Charles, who is Francis's son, is now an adult himself. Ross and Demelza finally got their marriage back on track. Now they've like both cheated. And Drake and Marwana, the like boring, most boring couple of all time, are like finally married. They have all their own like on-off love, blah, blah for season 3 and 4.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, like, Ross comes in season 1 and Elizabeth is no longer engaged to him. And she dies at the end of season 4. And it kind of feels like the story's over. So like, other than waiting for the next generation, because Ross and Demelza end up having 3 kids... It's just kind of like, where's the story going to go? Like, what are you going to do with these characters now? I am. I'm glad that it didn't finish with the end of season 4 because it would have been a fitting finale, but it didn't, I don't know. It doesn't feel done in that, like, it feels resolved, but I'm interested to see where their lives go. You know, it's like we were talking about last week / an hour ago about Veep. You know how season 6 went somewhere you did not expect? Like, she doesn't get the presidency and then you're like, well... what are we going to do with the story now?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like it's like, well, what are you going to do with these characters' lives now? There is no happily ever after. People continue to live on and on. What happens past the like inverted commas end of the story?
Yeah.
So I am excited to see it. I'm sad it's ending. But yeah, maybe they'll come back in 10 years and adapt books 8 to 12.
Yeah. Are the old books written?
Yes, we died.
Oh, right. Yeah. Wow.
So the last book was in 2002.
Oh, okay.
And that's about Russell DeMille's youngest daughter.
Was it actually the last book in the series, or was it just...
So I haven't got that far, but from what I've read, it was intended to be the last one.
Yep.
Because it does like tie up a lot of things. But now we're starting to get, you know, almost towards the Victorian era. Like, Russell and DeMille's are really aging, and like their kids are the key focus now that they're like adults around our age. So
yeah, right.
Yeah, it moves on a lot in like historical time periods.
So what era is this?
So I think it starts in like the late 1770s. And then I think where we're up to now is about 1800.
Yeah,
so
right.
We've gone forward about 20 years.
Oh, okay, right.
And I think where we are is probably like where you and I just watched, probably like mid 1780s.
Yep,
because at the beginning, Elizabeth is just engaged to Geoffrey Charles.
Yep.
And, you know, the American Revolution was about 1776. And then you can see, you know, she now has like a single digit age son. So
yeah,
I'd say probably like, yeah, mid-1780s. Yeah. And so by the time we get to, like, Russell and DeMille's, like, youngest daughter, it's probably, you know, like, around 1820, which is, like, where the whole saga finishes.
So how many episodes per season?
Season one, I think, was 10. Season two was 8. Season three was 9. And I think season four was 8 again.
Yeah.
It was a bit weird.
Season five?
8 again,
eight? I think. Yeah, okay, yeah, cool.
I think it was 10... 8988.
Yep,
I think. And I think this show first came out in 2015, and that was the same year that Downton Abbey finished on ITV.
Oh, right, okay.
So I think that the BBC were trying to make their like high quality, high production values version of Downton Abbey that was maybe not quite as soapy, that was like a little bit more like inverted commas highbrow than Downton Abbey.
And which rooted in like things that aren't as vapid, perhaps.
For sure. Like a literary adaptation. Absolutely. Yeah. Because that's much more like in keeping with like the BBC's tone. Yep. And then ITV sort of came back with Victoria the following year with Jenna Coleman.
With Jenna Coleman.
And they've done that as like a kind of filler for Downton Abbey. And so Paul Dark's been kind of pushed around the schedule a bit, quite a lot, because they were trying to like work out how to avoid a clash with ITV with Victoria on a Sunday night. So I think the first season was like around Easter time, and then the second season was like the following year, but like right at the end of the year. It was like nearly 2 years until it was on again. And then the third season was like the following summer, so there was only like 6 months apart between 2 and 3. And then, well, I say summer, like British summer.
Yeah.
And then season four was like the same again, like summer, like June. So I think season five will probably be out like June or July this year.
Wow, that feels like they're not treating like the show with respect at all.
I think now it's settled into the schedule from like season three onwards. I think they have, but they did shove it around a bit.
Yeah, just out of desperation.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it took at the end of season one ends with a huge cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Like, because Ross gets arrested.
Yeah.
And... yeah, it was a long slog of a wait for that season two to come out. It was kind of like, are they even still making the show anymore?
Yeah, like, has it just been cancelled and we've not been told?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But yeah, no, it is a good show. Like, if it's your jam, like, it's not everyone's jam. Dan, my partner, like, cannot stand anything remotely related to period, but...
yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about it, just given... I think there's a couple of aspects that I like, which is the character-centric sort of thing. I think the fact that it manages to drive... well, I mean, just from this episode itself... managed to drive a lot just through its characters interacting and just there doesn't seem to be much of a plot that I gleaned, but I don't think that's a bad thing.
You need to put it into the context of a season arc. Like, it really, it's part of a whole. And it's, you're right, it's all about interpersonal relationships, but it does have something that overarches way beyond what you've been able to see in one episode.
Yeah.
And I think I really like it because... I liked it on a rewatch because I could see, obviously, the foreshadowing with Francis's death in the same episode was obvious, but even the little tiny bits of foreshadowing where, you know, George is asking for Elizabeth's friendship, like, of course they end up married. But at the time, I was so shocked and so surprised, and I love the idea of, like, it constantly surprising me with plot points that, in retrospect, have actually been, if not heavily, then, you know, like, cleverly foreshadowed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is... it is my kind of show, just put it that way.
I think it's impeccably made.
Oh, 100%. It's beautiful. And sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say that it's impeccably made just because everything is just so well designed. It's interesting. I picked out so many actors, but then I was also not taken aback by the fact I'm like, oh, like someone I know. It was just like, hey, cool. But then like everyone sort of inhabits their characters very well. But the show just looks terrific. Like,
yeah. And I got to say, like, on that note, I think all of the performances are really outstanding. Yeah, like, yeah. Demelza and Ross have an amazing chemistry. Mm.
Dwight
and Caroline have an amazing chemistry. The actress who plays Elizabeth, as I said to you before, she's Icelandic. So her accent of an aristocratic English woman is just perfection. Mm. Francis is actually American. And I saw him. Wow. Yeah, I saw him in an interview talking in his real accent. And I was like, wow, like, you are a very good actor.
Yeah.
And so I think, yeah, the performances really make this show, because as I said, it's not quite as soapy as Downton Abbey, and it's a bit more, if not like grounded in reality, like it's still escapism, it's a little bit, you know, like grittier and a little bit more profound.
Mm.
And the actors really do that justice. And on the subject of it looking beautiful, it also sounds gorgeous. The score is phenomenal. The score is so beautiful.
Yeah, I didn't notice it until that intro with the opening credits, and I was like, whoa, okay, this is really beautiful. And then that sort of carried on in that sort of opening part of the episode. And then it's very subtle, but it's very beautiful and adds so much power to a lot of the scenes. Like,
but without being overpowering, you know, it like contributes mood without smothering the scene.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, yeah, it's not overpowering, but it's very distinct.
Yeah, absolutely. It is very distinct. It's interesting because it's like quintessentially like British. You hear it and you're like, oh, like, you know, that's so familiar and traditional, and yet so beautifully unique, yeah, at the same time. Yeah, it's like Ramin Djawadi, like,
yeah,
quality.
Yeah, yeah, that, yeah. That's, who, do you know who does it?
Her name is, I did know, Anne Dudley.
Oh, okay. Wow, yeah. I've never heard of it before.
Yeah, no, I looked her
up. I looked that up.
Yeah, I looked her up because there's a Poldark, like, you know, just soundtrack album.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she does have another couple of, like, TV and film.
Amazing.
Soundtracks out. So, yeah, she's worth giving a try.
Yeah, I was going to say, I might give that a listen, because I really do. Like, if I find a score that I like on TV, I go to that straight away.
Yeah.
And I think, out of all the shows recently that we've looked at, I think Poldark's got the most distinctive score that I can recall, at least, anyway. So...
Yeah. Dark Deluxe Edition by Anne Dudley. Check it out on iTunes.
iTunes. Spotify?
I'm on Spotify. Probably. Okay. I'm not a Spotify guy, but I guess.
Wow. God, you're the worst. Where can people find Poldark if they're looking for previews?
Well, if anyone's listening in the UK, you can watch it on Netflix. However, in our piece of shit of a country, in Australia, which I love, it's not on Netflix.
Oh, okay. Really? I thought it was.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. Wow. It's on Netflix in the UK. So, I think it was on ABC.
Okay.
Like the ABC iPlayer.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's still on there, but it was on there, because that's where it airs in Australia, is on ABC. So, season 5 will be out. It usually only airs like a week or a week and a half after it airs in the UK. So, you can watch it on ABC here, and you can catch up on ABC iPlayer, or otherwise, you know, buy it on DVD, buy it on iTunes.
Yeah.
It's worth it. And I think, you know, as I say, it came out in 2015. I don't think the first couple of seasons would cost a particularly high amount now.
I will admit, they have had it on sale quite a bit on the iTunes store. I've noticed that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they've just, like, because iTunes does, like, a weekly rotation, and Poldark's been up there a couple of times. I think generally when the new season's coming out, they just do a slash discount on all seasons.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So all seasons are, like, $10 or whatever, so.
Well, I mean, as I say, it's going to be coming out in the next couple of months, so. It's worth giving a go to, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Buy it.
Awesome.
It's worth money.
But we can watch it how you've procured it.
Oh, that's true. On my DVD.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I could just lend you my DVD.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, just load it onto the DVD for me. That's
fine. Yeah, you're like USB DVD.
Oh, shit. As always, you can get us on Facebook. Wait, no, we're not on Facebook. Ugh, we're on iTunes and Spotify.
Start the whole episode again.
Yeah, may as well just start again. on iTunes and Spotify, under What the Hell Is This Show. We're also doing A Feast for Thrones. It's on our both the podcast feeds for What the Hell Is and DNP. We're doing Game of Thrones every single week. We did our primer episode a few weeks ago.
A few hours ago.
If you've been listening to this, we've actually recorded like 6 podcasts today. So yeah, go give those a listen, because they'll inform you greatly of Game of Thrones, because
we've recorded 6. Like, what stuttering nonsense are you talking about?
I don't even know. We need to just cut it there. All right. Anyway, thanks so much for listening, guys. I'll catch you next time.
Buy DVDs and pay for your art.
Yes, exactly.
Legally.